The story of Nudhavn of Yew is as disturbing as it is bizarre. Here are two children of Aram, the first and greatest Kohen Gadol in history, the grandchildren of Amram, the leader of the generation, and the great-grandchildren of Levi, one of the 12 illustrious Shvatim. And yet, they act disobediently on the very first day of the Mishkan's installment. They go where they shouldn't go into the Mishkan to bring their own version of a carbon, and they subsequently get burned by a heavenly fire as a punishment. So let's ask the obvious question. What were they thinking? What propelled them to act this way? And what's even more peculiar is the discrepancy in Chazal as to what exactly they did wrong. In Masechtas Erevin Samech Gimel Amud Beis, it says that their sin was that they ruled on a halacha, albeit correctly potentially, in the presence of their teacher Moshe. In Chazal and Vayikra Rabba Chavav and in Sanhedrin Nun Beis Amud Aleph, they offer four other reasons for their deaths. Some say it was because they chose to remain unmarried. Some say it was because they entered the Mishkan after drinking wine. Some say it was because, as the Torah describes it, they brought an alien fire before Hashem, an uncalled for fire. And some say it was because that when they walked behind Moshe and Aaron, Nadavan of you would say to themselves, "When will these two elders die already so we can just lead the generation ourselves?" Now, let's take a step back for a second. Who does that? Who exactly were these people? From the way Chazal describe it, they appear to be two overly adventurous young men who act on impulse in bringing an alien fire to Hashem, along with a host of other negative traits. They were power hungry, drinking wine, unmarried, not exhibiting proper respect for Moshe, and wishing for the deaths of their very own uncle and father. And yet, they were Nadavan Aviyu, sons of Aaron HaKohen. How could it possibly be? Furthermore, what exactly do these reasons have to do with each other? Are these all just random negative traits that they had, that Nadavan Aviyu harbored, or is there some sort of common thread that runs through all five reasons? So Reb Reuven Katz, in his Sefer Dudai Reuven Chelek Beis, page 29, writes the following marvelous explanation. Nadavan Aviyu were certainly not disobedient, power-hungry young men hoping to grab the reins of power from their father and uncle. Not a bone in their body had any bad intention. They merely believed that they could bring a new and fresh vibrancy to serving Hashem, a new spirit that would energize the young generation to better fulfillment of mitzvahs, new innovative ideas beyond the performance of the elders, ideas like delaying marriage to enable one to mature and gain independence, or using alcohol as a means to ignite passion in one's service of Hashem, bringing new fire into the Mishkan, bringing new life into the younger generation who might not relate to the instructions of the elderly. They were so confident about the rightness of their views that they were willing to decide on these matters without consulting their rebbeim. So confident and passionate were they in their new and energetic way of serving Hashem that they aspired for the day that they could disseminate their ideas and make them part of Klal Yisrael's Messiah. Since this would be impossible as long as their old school, sort of old-fashioned mentors lived, they were relegated to waiting for the day that Moshe and Aaron would die and enabling them to introduce the people to their ideas, ideas that the Torah refers to as alien fire. Nadavan Aviyu, although righteous and completely well-meaning, discounted the power of tradition, the power of the elders, the power of doing things the way our parents did them. They overestimated the value of change and innovation, failing to see that the inability of the younger generation to connect was more of a problem with the younger generation than a problem with the system itself. Hashem's harsh and quick removal of this quote-unquote alien fire sent a very strong message. Just because we can't connect to the Aveda doesn't mean that there is something wrong with the Aveda. It means there's something wrong with us. If we don't feel connected to Shabbos, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with Shabbos. It means there's something wrong with us. If we don't connect to prayer, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with prayer. It means there's something wrong with us. If we don't connect to the Torah, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with the Torah. It means there's something wrong with us, with our outlook, with our emotional investment, with our enthusiasm. Hashem is telling us that we must be cautious with innovation and change in Judaism, and we can't be too quick to assume that any flaws stem from the way it's been done by our parents before us. There was once a tour group taking a tour of the Louvre, the most famous art museum in the world, located in Paris, France. And amongst the group was a simple corn farmer from Nebraska. And when the group entered the room containing the Mona Lisa, considered by experts to be one of the most sophisticated and beautiful paintings in the world, a painting that's worth more than $1.5 billion, the farmer took one look and said, "What's the big deal? It's just a woman with a half smile on her face. Like, I don't get it. What's the big deal? Like, this is not a good painting." And the tour guide stopped the tour and he looked to see who uttered those words, and he turned to the farmer and said, "Hundreds of art experts and art enthusiasts and art auctioneers and art collectors and artists came through these doors over the years and were in complete and sheer awe of this painting. This art gallery is not on trial. You are on trial. If you don't see the genius in the art, it's not a lack in the art, it's a lack in you." And with that, he marched off and went on with the tour. Thousands of kings and Nevi'im and Mekubalim and rabbis and sages and scholars and holy bubbies and zadies throughout our history walked through the doors of our world and were in utter awe of Hashem and His Torah. Avodas Hashem is not on trial. We are on trial. Will we bring alien fire into our lives, or will we bow at the feet of tradition and work on ourselves to see its unparalleled beauty?